Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised.
Razzball Podcast. A pleasure to be joined this week on the Razzball Baseball Podcast with Gray Albright and Rudy Gamble. That's right. We're going to try and get the two guys on the show at the same time today. So let me start by saying hello, Rudy, first.
What's up, Nick?
Gray, what's going on, bud?
I got a bone to pick with someone over there. I called up the radio phone number just now, and I got an answer machine that said the producer's name and also a couple of his credits, but I didn't hear anything about the Razzball Podcast.
Hey, Kyle, what's the deal? You can't put on your voicemail? I'm the imaging producer for Razzball Radio. No, he's working on it. Oh, I just got a hand signal. Yeah, I think he's working on it. One figure hand signal.
For $150, Nick can do your voicemail for you.
Done and done. Okay, guys, let's get right into talking a little bit of fantasy baseball because the season is kicking off. A lot of people have drafted, but there are still people who are looking at options out there. I want to start, Gray, let me start with you because you brought up Junior Lake to me this spring when we were down in Mesa at the Cubs game. He blasted three home runs on Sunday. He's looking good. He's going to get playing time. Where do you like? I know you like Junior Lake this year, but where are you taking him today, Gray?
Probably as a fifth outfielder in 12-team leagues around a little bit after 200, I guess. I don't think he's anything more than maybe Michael Brantley with a little bit of upside. He's around a 10 to 12 homer guy with 20 steals, possibly. He doesn't really have huge power or speed upside, so he's a little bit limited. And Michael Brantley's basically done what Junior Lake has done. What Junior Lake could do, and Michael Brantley has already done. So I think you know, you're probably safer to go with someone who's done it already, but yeah, Junior Lake could do pretty much the same. And I bring up Michael Brantley because I'm attempting to get people to pick him up all this year. Michael Brantley for president!
Rudy, do you concur with that assessment? Because you mentioned to me that you've got Junior Lake on pretty much every team you've drafted so far this year.
Yeah, I've got him on a KSFL expert and NFBC, and I just picked him off waivers on Yahoo Friends and Family. He's one of those guys that it's all about playing time. Right now he's slated as the leadoff hitter, which should be really good for maximizing plate appearances, getting runs. I do agree with the 10 homer, 20 stolen base, and there's a lot of guys in that category. But he was going at fifth to sixth outfielder in 15-team leagues. I do think his price is going to inflate. I don't think I'm getting him anywhere else.
I have a little bit of trivia for you, Nick. His father's name, Lake Superior.
His name's Junior, so, okay, interesting. I'd have to see his full name. Interesting. Hey, Gray, by the way, yeah, congratulations on being named the starter, opening day starter for the Oakland A's. I didn't know you pitched.
Yeah, I could hit about 96 if I'm going for one of those SpongeBob stuffed animal things.
I am, of course,
kilometers per hour.
I am, of course, talking about Sonny Gray. And Rudy, I don't really get the hype. There's been a lot of Sonny Gray hype this year. You're the guy who's got me. I was going back and looking at people's players' minor league stats to do to really make a more formulated assessment. What do you think of Sonny Gray this year?
I mean, I think he'll be a good pitcher, but yeah, he was going, I felt he was being overrated. The difference you'll find in projections like a steamer versus people who do their own projections is that you'll always look at the minor league stats. You always look 3-4 years to try to gauge true talent if you're using the projection systems. And he might have turned a corner last year. His stats were fantastic last year. I'm just not convinced that the jumps he made between AAA and the pros in both K rates and walk rates are going to stick.
Because he wasn't striking guys out in the minors.
It was good. I mean, if you look at it and you see, oh, 8 to 9 Ks per nine, that's good. That's really good in the major leagues. In AAA, that's okay. You'll see, like, really good K guys going 10, 11 Ks per nine in AAA, and then it drops one or two when they go to the majors.
Right. Great.
So I think he's a good pitcher. Like, I'd want him as a third starting pitcher, and he's being drafted as a second. I prefer, for that price, I prefer Wacha. I prefer Cole. I'd prefer those guys ahead of him.
Okay. Great, here's another guy.
I think those guys are going ahead of him. I think the bigger issue is, and now I could be wrong, and I don't want to speak for Steamer. Maybe Rudy even knows better than I do. I don't know, but I know the in AA, Sonny Gray had a terrible K rate, but he also was injured, and he said he was having mechanics problems, and then he fixed that, and his K rate jumped up the next year. Now I wonder if Steamer's taking into, you know, like his the projections for him are so low for his K rate this year. I wonder if that's why his K rate is so low in the projections.
You can't factor in injuries.
You're going to factor in the most recent year more than past years. But I mean, he's at like a 7.7 K per nine. That's not super low. I mean, that's like John Lester maybe. I think the concern is, but the thing is, John Lester, you're
getting it. If he's factoring the most current year, last year he had an over 9 K rate in the major leagues.
Right, it's factoring in like maybe like 30%, and then other years are going in the other 70. That's a rough stab, but I think the normal rule of thumb is 40, 30, 20, 10, with the most recent year being 40%.
Yeah, I think though sometimes, I mean, there's something to be said that like going across the board and saying 1,200 major leaguers are going to get these projections, you know, because of this logarithm on this computer doing these calculations. It's much better in the general sense, but when you get to specific players like Sonny Gray, I don't know if it's not better to look at, say, his AA numbers and just throw them out because he was injured and his mechanics were off.
No, it's possible. I don't think any system would proclaim omniscience. So I think
my system is me.
Can I get in and ask another question here, guys?
I didn't say obnoxious. I said omniscience.
Okay.
Great. Look, another guy that I'm not buying the hype on this year is Billy Hamilton, who's going way too early for me for a guy that I don't know if he's going to get 300 plate appearances. You have him higher than Josh Hamilton in your rankings, both going around the 10th round. If you're sitting in the 10th round today in a vacuum, are you taking Billy or Josh?
I'm not taking either because they're both going to be drafted by then. I think Billy's going about 3 rounds before I have him ranked, and Hamilton's going about 2 rounds before I have him ranked. So it's not really even an issue. I think if I had my druthers and I knew what druthers were, and I had Billy Hamilton or Josh Hamilton both on the board in the 10th round, I'd probably take Billy Hamilton just because of, you know, he locks up one whole category.
If he gets the plate appearances.
You know, in the 10th round, that's a decent value. With Josh Hamilton, I think 25 homers last year, and you know, some okay, decent counting stats, I guess. Not great average. I don't know. I wouldn't really go near Hamilton or Billy Hamilton. But if they're both on the board, I'd go with Billy Hamilton.
What about you, Rudy?
Yeah, I would take Billy before Josh. He's had a very good spring training, so I think he's got a better. The plate appearance concerns, I think, are a little bit mitigated. Chris Heisey is not a wonderful center field option either, so they don't have much in terms of backups. I'm tempted. I wish I had Billy Hamilton in one league, because I do think there's a good chance he can go for 80 some stolen bases. But I probably would have him in a league if he wasn't outfield only. I hate outfielders that can't give me any homers, RBIs. I'll take a Junior Lake and a Adam Eaton, and get the stolen bases without sacrificing the homers.
Okay, good stuff.
Coming up after the break, we compare Brad and Shelby Miller and Tommy and Torrey Hunter.
Oh, and Nick, for the record, in a vacuum, I would take Jared Dyson over them.
Hey, speaking of guys Rudy loves, Gray, I'm going to give this to you, though, because we talked a little bit about Mike Moustakas, again, down in spring training. Moustakas is winding up on a lot of Rudy's teams this year. I know you still have a soft spot for Moustakas. Give me your take on him, where we're at today, 1 week before the season starts.
I appreciate Rudy going for Moustakas, and I see that he's actually moving up draft boards now. But I did write a Mike Moustakas sleeper post back in November, just so we're clear.
Yes, you did.
All right. I think he can definitely bounce back from last year, which was just a total train wreck. I wouldn't expect too much, but 20 plus homers and a .250 average at third base is definitely worth drafting after .200, where he's regularly going, for sure.
Rudy, I'm going to get to some more of the players that you've picked up a lot this year, because there's a few I have questions on. But first, tell me about the player rater, because we've moved it now to dollars per category instead of point shares. I think the reason behind that is just easier to understand, but take me through it a little bit more.
Right, yeah. I moved... So everything's still underlying by a point share. And it's a real simple kind of basis. It says, how many points versus average is this guy going to get me? So if I get Billy Hamilton, I might move up 5 points in stolen bases versus if I was average. In reality, you see those numbers, they're all small because, you know, Billy Hamilton's probably the max he's going to get you. The dollars, I find, work a lot easier. So I switched to dollars. I had done that for this Darko player rater, moved that here. So what I've been doing for drafts is basically adding up the dollars of guys I draft, and I've got specific targets. So I find that's easier than when you're looking at numbers. I don't like adding up like the projections. I find that a little bit busy.
Yeah, and that's fair. That's a good way to look at it. Also, next week that'll come out on next Monday, I'm going to do a video post at rasball.com, just taking through how to use the tools. And I don't want to say for the layman, but I know that there's a lot of guys that tweet to me about how to, you know, take advantage of the tools. So next Monday we will do a post on kind of breaking those down and how to best maximize them. Great. You talked to me over the weekend about CT Tamborello from the Red Sox, who's a homegrowner. And you thought that if Middlebrooks falters, you know, he might get a shot. He's a bit hot-headed. He got into a fight at the AAA All-Star game last year. Can he put aside his demons and succeed in the majors?
Which guy?
CT Tamborello.
Oh, you should ask Rudy's take on CT Tamborello.
I was trying to switch it up. Rudy, tell me about CT.
You know, I don't love him for fantasy purposes. I mean, in the real world, he's fantastic. Fantasy-wise, yeah, I think he's... I just don't know if he's going to get the playing time. When he plays, he plays fierce. He brings a physicality to the game.
He kills
that's,
it.
That's rarely seen. In anger, he plays with an edge.
But really, do you think there's a chance that we're not going to see Middlebrooks this year, Gray? I mean, I don't know. They're just, I don't know. I still like Middlebrooks.
Yeah, no, we should. Middlebrooks is going to have the job out of spring. Whether or not he can perform is up to him. I think he corrected whatever was, you know, whatever the problem was last year with his swing when he went to the minors in the middle of the season. And then he came back and he hit, I think, around 270 on his return. So I think he's probably fine. I think Middlebrooks will be a good around Moustakas in drafts, and I would take Middlebrooks. I think right now Moustakas is probably getting a little more hype because of what he's doing in the spring, but once they wipe those spring stats clean and then Middlebrooks hits two homers in the first week of April, suddenly everyone will be like, oh, Middlebrooks.
I think, too, John JFO had a great post, sleeper post on Middlebrooks this year at Razzball.com. And one of the things he noted is that if he maintains his fly ball rate projected over 550 at-bats, he'd probably be over 30 homers. So I don't know. I still think there's too much
over
anti-hype.
Over 3 homers? I think that's a safe bet.
Did I not say 30?
I heard 30, yeah. Now, Middlebrooks is one of those... I'll say Middlebrooks is one of those guys that kind of helps fuel my third base punt strategy this year. That I felt, you know, Moustakas, Middlebrooks, Dominguez, all guys that are solid third basemen that'll go really late because people's first base and, or I'm sorry, their third base and their CI fills up pretty quickly. So that was one of the reasons I got Moustakas is that I didn't take a third baseman until the 18th or 20th round in a lot of leagues.
Wow. You're also seeing Aramis Ramirez and Kyle Seager go late as well, too.
Yeah, I mean, those
don't
are going to
be Cody
in the Arenado group. Like 10th
Cody
round.
Ash.
Yeah,
Cody
that, Ash. That was, he's dropping Cody Ash. He's maybe stabilizing. He's probably in the, he's in the Moustakas group.
Okay. Great. When we did the podcast year one in the last episode, we did a mock draft, and I think actually I think Rudy was with me. We kind of mocked you for taking Adam Jones 8th overall in that mock. Here we are now. I think it's fair to say he's a legitimate first rounder. He's another guy who's been winding up on all of Rudy's teams. You're still maintaining your Adam Jones love, I assume.
We should have the producer go into the Razzball podcast files and find the soundbite of you guys mocking me for taking Adam Jones in the first round.
You know what? That's what we did it on Skype. I don't know if we have files for those.
I don't remember. That's pretty convenient. Yeah, no one remembers it.
Rudy, I want to talk to you about streamer-based projections.
Yeah, no, I liked Adam Jones at the end of the first round last year, which everyone thought was crazy, but he's a 30-homer, 15-steal guy. 30 homers and 15 steals with good counting stats is, first to second rounder. I mean, that's what they are, depending on what you think of their upside. I think Adam Jones probably isn't more than a 35-homer guy, even in the best-case scenario, probably closer to 28 to 32. And his steals probably won't go way past, 15 to 17 steals. But, yeah, I mean, that is what it is. It's a first round, second round.
So, Rudy, I want to talk about the streamer-based projections and how they work. And the reason for that is, you know, obviously we love DraftKings. We're still going to probably play the Friday night play with Rudy from Razzball contest over at DraftKings.com. Of course, all the contests are kicking off right now. Get to DraftKings.com. But, Rudy, take me through how the streamer-based projections are different from FanGraphs, let's say.
Yeah, so this is the second year in a row we're going to be working directly with Steamer. And we work with FanGraphs as well, you know, great site. The differences we make are, you know, I try to figure out where can I add value. I can't do projections better than Steamer. I've helped him or I've at least provided suggestions in a few areas, but I don't know if it helped. But the key areas where we add value is that Gray and I are on playing time. Every day we're updating our rankings. And I find if you look at even like things like depth charts throughout the web, I do find some odd things in there. So I feel like we're up on playing time. So that is the first adjustment. And the other thing that I've added this year, which I think is really interesting, is how many at-bats are going to have versus lefties and righties. And that's something that is kind of been, I found is an issue with Streaminate, with a Hittertron.
Okay.
And that knowing what's a guy's true talent against lefties versus righties is huge for the daily projections we do. But I do think it helps overall projections because a guy like Juan Francisco is never going to face a lefty, a Brandon Moss. And their stats are going to look good, but the second you make them an everyday player, things are going to tank.
Right.
And what we have on the player pages and throughout the site is you can see how a guy what a guy's worth versus lefty hitters versus lefty and righty pitchers. So that helps when you're making your day to day decisions to know. I love Prince Fielder; he's a great hitter, but wow, he's like a $3 player against lefty pitchers. If I've got a really good first baseman on the bench and another one at CI. You shouldn't be afraid to bench him against lefties.
Right.
Brad Ausmus is afraid, but you don't have to be.
And we are, and I apologize, we're talking about the Steamer-based projections. My autocorrect goes to Streamer. So I apologize for that. But fill me in, what are the Steamer-based projections, Rudy, real quick?
So, you know, it's, I think it's an evolution of the various projection systems. So Marcel, which Tom Tango does, Zips is a popular one. Even things like a Baseball Prospectus is a similar in that it's looking at past stats, weighting them, and kind of determining what the guy's true talent level is. And then you're making adjustments for home park. Steamer does make adjustments. One thing we added in worked with them last year on is adding where the guy's gonna hit in the lineup. So ideally you make a big adjustment when Carlos Gomez becomes a leadoff hitter versus a number three hitter. So and then each one has slight differences in how they'll maybe look at historical data and try to determine if Baseball Prospectus and Nate Silver are famous for looking at past guys' aging curves and saying, you know, trying to come up with comparables. Zips does something similar. Steamer doesn't do that. And then it's, you know, there's a lot of little things that go in there. So in the tests I've done, I found Steamer is slightly ahead of everyone with a kind of systemic advantage in pitching. I know they use fastball speed. It's tough to know the rest of the secret sauce.
Right. And that's exactly it is a secret sauce. Rudy, we're going to let you go. I'm going to keep Gray on the line because he's going to help me out with our next caller that's coming on. But Rudy, make sure all your friends and family know about sportsvault.net. It is no fee, league fee collection. You cannot beat that. Sportsvault.net, really, guys, there's no hidden fees. They collect all your league fees for free and redistribute. So, I mean, I hate commissioning
leagues.
Make
sure you tell your sisters, Rudy.
I will let them know.
All right, Rudy.
They're sick of the rake. They're sick of the rake.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back.
The Razzball Podcast.
Okay, I'm joined now by John Rotundo of Roto Derby. John, welcome to the Razzball. We're still calling it the podcast for now. Soon to be Razzball Radio, but welcome to the Razzball Baseball Podcast.
Thank you very much, Nick. Appreciate you having me on.
No, it's a pleasure. And, you know, we wanted to have you on because... you know, part of what we will do with Razzball Radio, it'll be definitely a fantasy show, but we're also going to talk a little bit about, you know, businesses and businesses that positively affect our readers and our listeners. So you guys are doing a startup right now. It's called Roto Derby, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So give me a little bit of your background, John. How did you get into fantasy? Have you always been a baseball guy, always into fantasy baseball?
Yeah, I've always loved fantasy baseball. Fortunately, you know, with family and children and work, it was tough to play. I had a hard time finding time, and so we invented a new way for people who want to play and just don't have the time.
Got it. And that's Roto Derby, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
I hope so, or else we're in trouble here, John. So, John, tell me a little bit about how Roto Derby works, because basically, you know, as I understand it, a high-level view of it is you get in, you pick your guys for a year, you make no ad drops, anything like that, and basically it's like a derby contest, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much correct. It's a new way to play, basically, without the need for time. So your rosters are locked for the whole season once the derby start, and basically you just play on three stats. In this case, for a long ball derby, it's home runs, ribbies, and K's.
Okay.
And that's it.
So, okay. So who, I'm just curious now, let's just, and sorry, it's not a draft format. You just pick the guys you want?
Oh, so the way it works is it's similar to a salary cap style. So we have what's called a stat cap or a home run cap. And in long ball derby, you basically pick 10 guys, six infielders, and four outfielders while staying under the home run cap.
Oh, I see. Okay. And then basically it's going to, again, take those totals for the whole year. So who's a guy you'd be targeting right now in Roto Derby? Throw out one guy that, you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's going to have good homers and RBIs without a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah, so... one of the guys that I like, was one of my favorites, is Will Myers, rookie for the Rays. As you know, he's up and coming, has really good power, had really low, had 13 home runs last year, so I believe he has a lot of potential to come up this year.
All right, well, I will definitely check that out. And again, it's at rotoderby.com. Is all the information there, John, that people can go, and if they want a little bit more info on what you guys do, that it's there and accessible? I mean, the site looks great, by the way. I've been on it a few times. But all the information is there, right?
Yeah, everything's there. And one of the things that I meant to mention was that what we do is we reset the standings monthly. So you're in for the whole season, but you only have to set it up one time. So each month is like a whole new season throughout the year.
Okay, interesting. And what other contests do you have aside from the long ball?
So we will be coming out with Touchdown Derby. We will also have, in basketball, a three-point derby, and then for hockey, we'll have puck derby. So we're going to have a year-round, if you will, rotisserie of fantasy derbies.
Okay, I probably don't want to say puck derby too many times fast, because that might get ugly real quick, but no, I appreciate that. Okay, John, listen, appreciate you coming on and saying hello. That's rotoderby.com, and I guess they want to get in there before opening day, right, John?
Yes, that is correct. The derbies will close March 31st. We are running a special now for everybody who listens, buy one, get one free. So we hope they'll come along and try out the derby.
Might have to go do it myself. Thanks, John.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks to Gray and Rudy. Again, we are working on a once-a-week show. We're hoping also to have that up by around May. That'll just be kind of Gray and Rudy riffing old school. The talking over each other, the interrupting, all that good stuff that some of you guys really love. I want to make sure that the guys who really dug the Year One podcast, that we make that happen for you. Even as a radio guy, it makes me crazy, and it makes Kyle, the super producer's hair fall out. So we'll be back again next week. We are definitely going to have another podcast. Check out RazBallRadio.com. We are launching May the 1st. And again, big thanks to DraftKings.com, who've supported us in this crazy tour we're doing, as well as SportsVault.net. That just makes sense. Lock up your league fees for free. No fee. I'm out of here.